You know what I love about baseball? There's a game every single day. That's not a complaint. That's a gift. And right now you've got playoff basketball and playoff hockey running alongside the everyday of baseball. That's not a sports calendar, my friends. That's a buffet. MyBookie.ag has all of it. And if you're new, here's the deal. Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. First bet loses, they give you the money back, up to $500 in free play. Plus $25 in casino credit just for signing up. One rollover, that's it. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. Now, go find a game. All right, quick word about Troll Co. Clothing. Here's what I actually love about this brand. It was started by two guys who worked the oil patch. Not marketers, not guys with corporate pitch decks. Workers. They looked around and could not find any clothing that represented the life they were living. So they made it themselves. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. Good quality stuff. The whole brand is built around a phrase you have probably heard. Dirty hands, clean money. The idea that hard, honest work is how you build a good life. And I think most people listening to this show understand that better than they're ever given credit for by the sports media machine. So if you want your gear from a brand that actually means something and was not assembled by a focus group, go check them out. Trollco.com/Zabe. That's TROLLCO.com/Zabe. And use code ZABE25 for 25% off your first order.
This is the ZABEcast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. Tuesday, May 12, 2026. Thank you for downloading. We got Scott and Solly with the away game this week, a portion of their podcast for the whole thing. I urge you to go see them over on Patreon, subscribe and support, but you'll get a nice 20-minute chunk of it today to whet your appetite for the return trip here to my home court later on this week. Let me start with a few thoughts on tanking. A foreign man from a foreign land, when presented with our sports landscape, who did not know really a thing or two about whether a ball is stuffed or pumped, would ask the native, "So you're telling me they're not trying to win?" "Oh, no. No, they're actually hoping to lose." "Why?" "Well, because it's part of a longer plan." Then you start to explain the way the entry draft works. And then you talk about lottery odds if this foreigner is asking you about the NBA. And it's going to be a long discussion, by the way, because the NBA has many things that would require a lot of discussion. So the foreign man keeps asking, "Well, how long does this not trying persist for?" "Oh, quite a while." "And do people know they're not trying?" "Oh, yeah." "And yet people still show up to the games." "Mm-hmm." "Do they have fun watching them not try and lose?" "Well, I don't know. They're at a game. They're seeing the best basketballers in the world. There might be an exciting slam dunk they can go ooh at. There's halftime entertainment. There's food. There's drink. It's expensive. But it's a game." "Okay, so they're not trying to win so they can get a better draft pick. This is going to go on for a while. How long would it go on? For a month?" "Oh no, longer than that. 2 months." "Keep going." "A whole season?" "Yeah." "Well, surely you're not going to not try for more than one season." "Not so fast, my friend." At that point, the foreign man from a foreign land would just shake his head in utter bemusement and disbelief that this is the system for the top league, one of the top leagues in the United States. And yet here we are. And not only is this now sometimes multi-year tanking approach, not only is it normalized, it's praised. The Wizards are getting all kinds of kudos for you. Did it really well. You pulled it off. Well done. Look at the position you're in now. Of course, not everyone's so lucky to have endured two full seasons of losing 65 games or more out of an 82-game schedule. We know the Pacers GM has already apologized, or team president. They tanked hard with Halliburton out with his Achilles and got nothing from it. Of course, they would have not gotten anything anyway with the top five pick. They were hoping to jump up into the top three, and that did not happen. Brooklyn spent all of the last 2 years, basically, to get control of their number one picks back because they had relinquished control and given away some of these picks from other knee-jerk, impulsive moves the previous several years. And what happened? Well, the Nets traded three first-round picks and one first-round swap to get control back over their 25 and 26 first-round picks so they could then tank last year and this year, which they did. What happened? They ended up moving down a combined five spots in those two lotteries. Absolutely brutal. And even though the NBA is going to implement anti-tanking tweaks next year, I don't know how much it's going to really affect things. Baseball does the same thing. It's a more elegant form of tanking in which you basically say, we're not going to pay a lot for this muffler. We're not going to pay a lot for this starting nine. We're going to get the youngest guys possible. We're going to throw them out there in the open water and tell them to swim. See how it goes. And a lot of times it works if you get the right guys, if you get the right chemistry, you get the right manager. Sometimes, like in the case with the Nationals, they try it. They suck wind for 3 years and they're like, we're not getting anywhere. Okay, blow up the tank and let's go get a new tank or a new approach to things. Now this year, the Nationals are really an interesting team because they're scoring a lot of runs. Their pitching is abysmal, but they're probably going to trade off at least one of their attractive pieces for even more prospects, probably C.J. Abrams, who has been a bit slow coming as the star player that many thought he would be. He's having himself quite a spring so far, but I digress. This is our sports landscape. Teams willingly say, we're going to suck, and we're going to suck hard, and we're going to suck hard and long, and it's just going to be how it is. But come to the ballpark. Come to the stadium. Come and see the other teams and have some overpriced food. And enough people come where it's not a ghost town. It's a fascinating thing to me. It's not very honest, however. I would say that a more ethical and full of integrity system would be what they do in European soccer, which is relegation, or British soccer. Relegation. Oh, you suck? Huh. You better try, because if you ain't going to try, get out. Of course, we would never allow for relegation because, as one of my favorite sound bites goes, era, we have major corporations sponsoring this team, stadium, league, etc. We don't do it like they do it. Many of us wish that we would. We don't really have a viable secondary league, although if we did, you would hope that, let's say, 1 year, if perhaps the Jets get relegated, they would whoop up on the lower division and get themselves back up into the NFL, and it would be the Browns who get relegated the next year. It's not how we do it in America, but man, it's just wild to sort of see in the aftermath of the lottery who did and who did not do very well. On to other news. Wemby has not been suspended for his elbow to Naz Reid's thorax. This was quite the moment on Sunday night as the Spurs went down to the Timberwolves to make that series quite interesting now, as the T-Wolves with a recovered Ant-Man looked like he was going to be not quite himself or out for a while. And see, this is why many people are skeptical of the NBA, that the injury that Anthony Edwards sustained in the regular season would be like a month. Instead, he's back after a couple of games, and he is absolutely going full out on the court. And maybe it's smart to not push it in the regular season when it doesn't matter. But obviously, playoff basketball is at such a different level of intensity that, you know, these guys push through injuries. So Wembanyama will not be suspended for his elbow to Naz Reid. There is some potential that he could have been. He doesn't have a history like that of Ron Artest, who got a 7-game suspension for a vicious elbow to the head of James Harden back in 2012. So that was a factor in this light decision. You may hear Scott and Solly and I talk about it. I thought for sure he might get one game, but he didn't. Obviously, they were roughing him up, had been roughing him up the whole game. T-Wolves had made it a mission, get under his skin, make him uncomfortable, foul him, get him pissed off. You never know. Hey, man, that's NBA playoff basketball. It actually makes me feel good to see that, because this is the league at its full-on most muscular and intense and, okay, fuck you, let's go. Even though basketball is a skill sport and a poetry and motion sport at times, it is still also extremely physical when two teams, pro teams, with absolute Goliaths out there pounding the hardwood, really dig in and go at each other, especially in a best-of-7 series. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games in a row. Harkens back to the good old days of the rivalries we used to really love. Lakers-Celtics, Bulls-Pistons, and on, Heat and Knicks. It's going to be a spicy series now, tied 2 games apiece, but Wemby has avoided a suspension. Stop me if you've heard this one before. Ready? Headline. Sources, Bucks seeking trade offers for Giannis. Okay, I've been hearing this for a long time. At this point, either shit or get off the pot. Of course, when it comes to co-governors, Wesley Edens, he is currently dealing with the fallout from an attempted extortion plot from a entrepreneurial Chinese girlfriend that the divorcee had met through LinkedIn, who then threatened to release videos and photos of the two of them in a compromised sexual act or something like that and ruin his reputation. He had already paid her like $100,000, and she wanted even more. Wanted like $500 million or something absurd. He's a billionaire, Wesley Edens, but whatever. Embarrassing. On LinkedIn is where he met this woman. Somebody once said, or maybe I saw this in an article online, the article said that basically LinkedIn is just another dating site. I'm thinking to myself, what? No, it's where you network professionally. Ooh, really? And the article laid it out like, yeah, but here's how it works. You may get a job through LinkedIn, but more importantly, you're signaling to other potential mates that you are of a certain status and certain economic level in the country, because they can see exactly what you do, for what companies you've worked, where you live maybe, et cetera, et cetera. It's a dating site that you may get a job from. Or if you're Wesley Edens, you may get honeypotted by some Chinese thirst trap who could be working for the Chi-Coms. Eileen Wang, the Democrat mayor of Arcadia, California, yeah, she was working for the Chi-Coms, pled guilty to acting as a foreign agent on behalf of China. How red-handed, pun intended, do you have to be to plead guilty to something like this? I know. The feds have an unbelievable close rate on convictions. It's because the deck is stacked in their favor. But still, especially with politicians and Democrats, they're thinking is, nah, wasn't me. Just going to deny, stonewall, delay. It'll blow over. Wasn't me. Apparently, she decided, yeah, it was me. Adrian Peterson is going to be inducted into the Vikings Ring of Honor. This is one of 2 Ring of Honor stories I'm going to talk about today before we step aside for our conversation with Scott and Solly. Of course, Adrian Peterson should be in their Ring of Honor. He was amazing as a Viking. He was truly Purple Jesus. The 41-year-old Peterson played for the Vikes from 2007 to 2016, holds the franchise record for career rushing yards, 11,747, and career touchdowns, 97. His 2014 campaign with the team was derailed, though, after the season opener, the result of his arrest for assaulting his son with a switch. Hold that thought on his son. Peterson was put on the commissioner's exempt list and ultimately avoided jail time and a felony conviction. He was suspended, though, for the team's final six games. When he returned for the 2015 season, well, he ran like somebody was chasing him with a switch. Led the league in carries and rushing yards. Peterson finished his career with stops in New Orleans, Arizona, Washington, Detroit, Tennessee, and Seattle. 14,918 career rushing yards and 120 touchdowns, both rank fifth in NFL history. Duh, he's in the Ring of Honor. But what about the kid? That was really, really bad. Yeah, it was. And the courts did what the law would allow, and he went through the system on it. I don't condone it, but guess who's now 14 years old and is a really highly regarded wide receiver prospect in high school football? Yeah, you guessed it. Adrian Peterson Jr. Now, was this the child that was at the receiving end of the switch? I can't say for certain. AP had quite a few children with quite a few women along the way. It could be someone else. But Adrian Peterson Jr., 6'1", 175. He's 14 years old, plays primarily wide receiver, probably could play any position on the field. So at least that son is doing pretty well. Now to the other Ring of Honor story that I'm surprised some people don't get it, but I guess if you've never been to Milwaukee, you don't understand the Brewers and their grip on the hearts of Southeast Wisconsin they have as a franchise, as a team, you wouldn't get it. C.C. Sabathia was inducted to the Brewers Ring of Honor. C.C. Sabathia, the longtime legendary New York Yankee. He played 17 games in a stretch drive for the Brewers when acquired on a deadline deal as he was set to become a free agent. 17 games. He went bananas in those 17 games. He was 11-2 in his 13 starts, had a 1.65 ERA, and had an electric 128-25 strikeout to walk ratio. It's absurd. And he did it knowing I've got to get a new contract after this season. I know the Brewers are renting me, but fuck it, I'm going to give them my best. He also made starts down the stretch on short rest and just absolutely shoved. It also needs to be noted the Brewers had not been to the playoffs since 1982, the year that they went to the World Series and lost in heartbreaking fashion. We're still beloved by the city and fans for that 82 run, but 26 years of no playoffs and C.C. Sabathia is acquired in a deadline deal knowing he's about to get paid $100 million from somebody, probably the Yankees, which he did. And he doesn't just say, I don't know, man. Shoulder's not feeling good. He went out there and he delivered. And he was a joy to watch. Yeah, he belongs in their Ring of Honor. You don't know if you don't know. And it doesn't matter that he was only there for 17 games. At least not in my book. To the NFL, schedule's coming out. Don't know if you heard. Full schedule Thursday leaks are already coming. Also, the league is expanding some of its television windows, which I don't think anyone's going to complain about. We now know several of the games that are set already, and that includes the first Sunday Nighter is going to be, let's see here. I just had this up. I got a 50 million tabs up. All right, here we go. Confirmed games. Week 1, Niners-Rams from Australia. I believe that's going to be on Thursday. It'll be Wednesday down there, or maybe it's Friday. I don't know. Don't quote me on it. Cowboys-Giants, your first Sunday night football game. Week two, the first Thursday night game is Bills and Lions on Amazon Prime with the new Highmark Stadium getting that new stadium smell out. They were putting up the little covering to the Buffalo Bill logo outside the stadium, the big cranes and workers up there. $2.1 billion, 1.3 million square feet, a 60,000 seat capacity, perfect size, not too big. It's got overhangs, so it's not too bad if it's pouring snow or rain. It's got heated overhangs so that the snow that falls will melt, and it's got real grass that will be heated and pampered and everything else. It's going to be one of the crown jewels of the NFL. Let's just hope the savages up there putting themselves through tables, getting doused in ketchup and mustard, don't mess it up too much in the first year. But the schedule is coming out, so games are being leaked. And there's some interesting wrinkles to all of this, including the following. The NFL is expected to have Saturday games in weeks 15, 16, 17, and 18 this year, and then continue with Saturday games during the wild card and divisional rounds as usual. So that means six consecutive weeks of NFL games on Saturdays. I assume nobody's going to complain about that. Also, Austin Karp reports CBS is going to be adding an incremental national NFL window this year, taking a matchup that would have been folded into their regional window and putting that into prime time for 1 week only, which is week 15 on December 19th at 8 p.m. Interesting. Again, is anyone complaining? I don't think so. Draymond Green recently was ripped by people for trying to take a shot at Barkley. Shane Gillis has the best comeback. Gillis said Draymond Green has four NBA championships the way Ringo Starr has 11 number one albums. Well put.
I absolutely love that first firing up of the grill on a warm summer evening. Do you or someone else in your home take grilling as seriously as I do? The Burger Perfection Pack is an incredible deal for just $99.99. This exclusive package includes 20 of Omaha Steaks' mouthwatering steak burgers. That's four of each of their finest burgers. Pure ground filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Only available at omahasteaks.com. Impress your next dinner party or family cookout with exclusive products not available at grocery stores. All backed by Omaha Steaks' 100% money-back guarantee. Get ready for grilling season with the mouth-watering Omaha Steaks Burger Perfection Pack, plus eight free Wagyu Smash Burgers for just $99.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and as a bonus, use promo code YUM to get $35 off your order. That's $35 off with promo code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details.
Here's a scenario for you. It's a Tuesday night. There's a game on. Maybe it's good, maybe not. Who knows? Could go sideways by the fourth inning. But if you're still parked on the couch, what are you going to do? MyBookie.ag Casino. That's what you do. Slots, blackjack, roulette, right there on your phone. And their live dealer tables are genuinely impressive. A real person dealing cards on a live feed. Feels a lot more like a casino than clicking a computer game, that's for sure. Use promo code ZABE at mybookie.ag. New players get $25 in casino credit on their first deposit automatically. And if your first sports bet loses, they refund it up to $500 in free play. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. Okay, as promised, Scott and Solly on their home court. It is the Lynn Murray Solly podcast on Patreon. Please support and subscribe. I join them every Monday, which airs on Tuesday for them. This is the first half of our conversation. For the whole thing, by golly, I know you got a couple bucks to support them. Please go over there and sign up today. Here's the boys with me on a Monday.
Being this thing, Van is so sold.
Sold down the river.
You're going to buy another one. You didn't buy another one?
I know. No? I know. Well, luckily I'm just slow walking it, so I haven't done it yet. And I think I've bought it, made it, returned it, sold it three times in my mind. So if I can just keep doing that, that'd be great.
Better than it really is.
Because then you don't actually have to touch it or make a payment on it. So
yes,
it's,
or pay it's, insurance, Scott. Jesus Christ. What was I thinking? Pay insurance on a vehicle.
Well, I mean, it's law, you know, legally mandated. You have to, you know, drive.
No, a lot of people drive without insurance.
Being unemployed sharpens the mind on just how wasteful and dumb your spending is. I'm starting to calculate everything, like how much a soda costs. I've already calculated that.
Jeez.
Have you gotten gas recently? Oy vey.
No, because I have a Tesla. So,
oh, that's yeah, right.
But I find people right. that complain about gas prices to be the most tedious people ever. Like,
I mean,
they go up, they go down. And it happens in cycles throughout various administrations.
Throughout history, right.
Throughout history. Time immemorial.
Go back to the 70s and take a look at
Do you remember waiting in line, Scott, for gas? Yes, in the 70s.
The odds are even, Solly. I remember my parents, I mean, Zabe can also remember this. You had the odds evens on your license plate, and we had one of each.
Oh.
And you had families who, if they would need gas and it would be a better time, they would take the plates off of one car and slap the odd date on it. If it was an odd date on the counter, like, I'm taking both cars to get gas today because I can. And so you'd...
Yeah.
And
talk about things that would be entirely unacceptable in today's society. I would argue that level of pain would be unbearable for today's generation. They couldn't think of it. What a fucking inconvenience.
Well, the height of Mad Magazine, too. Satire and whatnot. There was, you know, there were records and rap and spoken word freedom of speech attacks on government with
Tipper Gore.
LPs.
Tipper Gore before, testifying before Congress about, rock and roll albums that had messages about kill your parents.
Twisted Sister and the Satanic and this. I'm talking about, I'd have to look it up because I'm sure Wikipedia or Reddit has a thread about it. There were energy crisis records and like mock Walter Cronkite. I am here at the gas station talking to someone about the fact that they can't put gas in their car.
How are they going to get to work?
Yeah, it was those things. And we used to sit around and listen to them on the record player. Like my friends had older siblings who were driving and they were like the dazed and confused age kids. And to me, I'm like, wow, this is what adulting is going to look like in a few years.
This is what adulting is going to
Anyway, speaking of which, we touched briefly on it on Monday on the pod, but I'm coming off just a high as a parent, the graduation weekend.
Aww,
and there's just so much. It was amazing. Justin was over the moon happy. We were so proud of him getting to hang out with his people, his frat brothers, his apartment mates, his the extended families of everybody, and it was just a beautiful weekend. The commencement speaker for Justin's particular school at the Bryce Jordan Center, the Belisario School of Communications, was a guy named Mark Lima, he was here in D.C. doing sports and doing news producing. Went to New York, went to L.A., came back to D.C. He's now, I believe, like the CBS bureau chief for news in D.C. He has a bunch of mutual friends. He knows our friends Steve Buckhantz and Wally Bruckner.
Wally.
And a lot of Channel 5 and News 4, NBC 4, Sports Washington.
Well, everyone knows
not
Buck.
Sports, NBC Washington people. Yeah, Lima knows these people.
Is he was Penn State grad?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes, he is. I graduated, I think, 87 or 88 and just spoke, you know, about just how hard this business is. And how you got to make
Well, not for Mark.
Work,
he's doing also, very well as a multimillionaire.
It's hard for me
who make no money at it. No.
But Mark was
Go out there, speaker. Kids, and conquer the world. Did he give one of those kind of speeches of inspiration?
He was actually humble and you know, said, you just got to keep working hard. But he's like, look, I didn't think I was going to get into this because I didn't think I was going to graduate because I was waiting on a communications law grade. And if it didn't come to fruition, I was going to wind up possibly doing something else.
Well, that happens to many people, Scott.
Of course, it does.
The work hard and your dreams come true thing, that's a fallacy. You can be the hardest worker in the world, and sometimes it doesn't work out for you.
I know.
All right, so what would be your ideal message, you two guys, grizzled media veterans like myself, if you were to speak at graduation? What would be your core message to these young people out there?
You just wasted your parents' money on this scam. I mean, why'd you waste your time on this?
This was a huge waste of money.
What a waste of time and money. No, college is great for...
If you don't take advantage.
For preparation for life. You know, you live on your own. It's pseudo breaking from your parents. So it's more of that than the education part. I guess a lot of things that the schooling is important for a field that you want to do, all that crap, I guess. But, you know, the real reality of life. And I don't know what the job market is for any 22-year-old now and whatever.
It ain't good.
It ain't good. But then.
Sorry, we have AI now. We're not going to need you. Yeah, we have
AI. I've never heard a time in which people say, oh, my God, the job market is great.
Right.
It's booming. Everyone is hiring.
Right. Go
Everyone
look on
graduating today.
Indeed.
Or get a job.
Right. Yeah, I don't even know. LinkedIn, you always see people having jobs, wanting jobs, needing to open to work, and jobs available. I'm on LinkedIn. I get messages every day about jobs that are available or something like that. Doesn't mean
so
I want
them. Here's something about, you know, these postings on LinkedIn, monster.com, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. You know, a lot of them are ghost jobs.
Probably.
That don't exist. No, this has been documented. Yeah. That don't exist, or a company has no intention of ever filling. And they post them for a variety of reasons. Sometimes to just, you know, tick a box with regulations.
Right.
Or they're trying to data farm potential hirees for the future. So they want to see what resumes come flooding through to be able to have some options. And so I got into an argument with my sister, my younger sister, who I was disappointed in because she's like, well, are they doing anything illegal? I go, Anne-Marie, why are you defending this?
Is she a recruiter?
No, she's not a recruiter. She's actually going to be looking for a job herself. She just at 49. Yeah, she's like 48, 49 years old. Mm-hmm. She's 9 years younger than me. At 48, she just completed her master's in being an archivist.
Wow.
Good for her.
So she's going to be out there looking for a job as an archivist. And I was sort of stunned that she was kind of defending, or maybe she just wanted to argue with her older brother to say, well, are they doing anything illegal? I go, well, maybe, maybe not. It would take someone in our government to get off their ass and go sue them and say, you can't be doing this. If you post a job, it has to be a real job. You have to hire somebody within, say, 6 months. Like, this is why we have all these giant granite buildings in downtown D.C. All these departments, Solly, they're supposed to be doing stuff and keeping law and order in our society.
We have, for the most part, a lot of law and order. We do. We are not.
And we have some corruption, but not nearly as much as other countries.
Democracies come with corruption. You know, you got your good and bad. You
sure
got your
does.
Freedom, but you'll also have some corruption. Not as bad as most. We're better than most.
Yeah.
Right? That's our answer for most.
Better than
things.
Most. Better
but
than most.
Yeah. I think whether it's, you know, equal opportunity laws or because it's been budgeted, I've learned that with like county government jobs, they are slotted and budgeted. And they're not filled because, well, let's just not fill them. We'll save money next year. And that's how you eliminate. Like, these were just never filled or something like that. So there's, even with unemployment, there's a good rate of unemployment you need to keep people wanting to find jobs. You can never have full employment. That's bad for the economy, too. But I guess there are a lot of jobs that are not real. And maybe even if you're looking for one person, you say, oh, we're hiring seven people in this department. Seven. Oh, I got a chance. Let me put a resume in the resume. But I guess they have to report, or maybe they don't have to post after the fact things about the job. This is how many people applied, and this is how many people got.
I don't know that.
I don't know if they have to.
I don't know those.
There may not be any rules for LinkedIn or Indeed or Monster. You just post a job, and then that's it.
My message, if I were to speak at a graduation, and I have not been invited yet for
Langley High never had you speak?
Any day.
Nothing?
Langley High, they're dead to me.
because clearly Saxons. I'm dead to them. There's going to be a, I shudder to say it, 40-year reunion coming
that's
up.
That's right. 86 to 26.
Yeah. And some dipshine decided to do a mass email of almost 60-plus people. And so you got a lot of reply alls about, oh, great, I'll be coming. And I'm just like, okay, we're already off on the wrong foot here. You know, someone who organized this didn't make sure to tell people, please don't reply all. So there was that. But yeah, I have a very, you know, fractured relationship with my high school. I feel like I've achieved some things in the public eye that would make me a low-level celebrity, and yet nothing. No recognition, no honorifics, no invites for anything. It's a little bit disgusting, Scott.
You should have been, you're not low level, but you're because of your life experience, because of your position, you absolutely should be in the rota of.
Yes.
You should be considered, right. It'll, you know, then you look around these days too at who's getting the honorariums, honorifics of getting these gigs. And you're like, I'm sorry, who?
Who?
Why?
Exactly.
Why? I got no
idea.
Well,
I can't believe you're not in the Langley High School Hall of Fame. That's the shame.
That's another one right there.
That's pretty shameful right there.
In fact, if they were to, if somebody at Langley hears this podcast, unlikely, and they decide, hey, we really should hook Zabe up here. And if they came to ask me to speak somewhere, my asking price would be simple. Put me in your Hall of Fame.
Right.
Otherwise, piss off. So we'll see where it goes.
So at the graduation ceremony, and Zabe, you as a photographer par excellence, somebody who's had gear, given it back, had more gear, given it back, had more gear, given it back, and had more gear and returned it, and has more gear and is pondering returning it, I was mesmerized by a couple of things. The picture nuts drive me batty. And again, God bless.
The guys with four cameras on their vests. All right, hold on. I got to get this. Hold on.
Whoa.
So hear me out. Don't listen to Solly. He's never, you know, whatever.
I'm just asking.
I'm amazed with full respect. I'm in the second deck, and I'm holding up my iPhone, and I'm texting with my son, and thank God there was Wi-Fi. I go, hey, Just, we're sort of parallel to you. Do you see me? I'm waving.
I'm waving. I'm the one waving.
Try for a quick smile. Right. So he did, and it worked, and I was done. I also knew this thing was being live streamed on YouTube, and I just found a couple of minutes ago the exact moment where my son walks, and it was neat. I also had pre-sent that link to the grandparents who were not able to make it this weekend. My mom and dad and Sandy, my in-laws, had a watch party at my parents' apartment.
See, even
because
better.
They live. Yeah, it was perfect for them.
For a graduation, I would have watched my own on TV if I could. Oh, I'm not going to this thing.
This man in front of me from the second deck, full suit and proud dad, he had his camera glued to his eye the entire time. And he was trying to get the scoreboard where the kid's name is posted and the video screen and shooting down at the seats. And I'm like,
and
I'm like, you're not getting to enjoy this, proud dad.
Well, he will for history.
But that is where you miss the point of those of us who are photography enthusiasts.
Yes, of course.
What did you call them first? The camera psychos?
The picture nuts.
The picture nuts. Okay. First of all, he had how many cameras on his body?
He had at least two.
He was strapped with two. So wide angle and a telephoto.
And he had like a family of seven. And I'm thinking, this is the way the lens did. And again, I know, and I'm only kidding because I love. I told Madison, you aim up and get a picture of the scoreboard. Mom will aim at the video screen in arena to catch a couple seconds of video. Kaysen will tell my wife and Sonia, you know, hey, Mom, don't forget. Hey, zoom in. Did you get it? And because I had the best lens, I took a video of Justin walking across. No big deal. It was there, but like 53 seconds and we were done. Like, kind of like my honeymoon night. So it worked out well. But for this poor guy, nobody was helping him. And it was like, oh my gosh, you're missing it. I felt for him. Well, but like you said, that's what drives him is getting the perfect picture.
We can go to YouTube and screen cap his the moment of his child.
Yes.
But still, it's not good quality, and you need to frame it right. You might want to do some post production if you're shooting it raw.
Right.
So you can bring
some
up the shadows.
Color correction.
You know, look, the thing about once you get bit by the photography bug, the Peter Parker spider of being a photo nerd.
Yes, sir.
You are transformed forever, and you have a compelling need to hashtag get the assets, as I like to say. Get the digital assets, the photos, the short videos, etc. Because the ones that you get that are so good, and I have quite a few really good photos of my family and other things, every time I see them, I'm like, damn, that's a banger of a photo. Yeah. I'm so glad I got that. And for people that you catch them in that photo, when it's a really good one of them smiling or laughing or doing something at just the right time, and you give it to them, it's like this incredible gift. They go, wow, this is a really cool photo. Thank you very much for this, you know? So it warms your heart as a gift that you're giving to the world and something that is going to be yours forever, this precious asset. Are you missing it in the actual moment to go, oh, yes, I'm soaking it in? Sure, you are technically missing it. Your eye is up to the viewfinder, and you are working. However, the moment of experiencing it comes, and it goes, and then it's gone, which some would argue is a proper Zen-like way to experience life in the world, that everything is fleeting. But I'm telling you, once you get bit by the bug, not everyone does. Some people are immune to the photography bug. They could get bit by that spider and just be like, ugh, get it off me.
Do you have a dark room in the house?
Freeze frame?
Don't have a dark room, Solly, but I would if we were in a primitive age.
You're all digital. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yes. So,
you're right.
Awesome.
You're right there. That. Okay. Oh, yeah, I thought you were hundreds of feet away.
I was. That's a freeze frame from the YouTube stream.
Okay. See, that's what I thought.
So, yeah. And again, that's badass. That camera is right there as they walk across the stage. It was really, really cool. So, but again, full respect and much love to this guy who was trying his damnedest to get the perfect picture. For me, I was good. And I know, you know, I can only zoom in so far. I don't have one of those 8 megs. The iPhone that I have is pretty decent, and it was still made for a really good picture. Done and done. The other things that I noticed, and my heart sort of broke. I know that not every, you know, there's tons of international students. There are students who experienced family issues and nobody could make it. But also, when the dean says, can you please applaud appropriately, that is in the eye of the beholder. And so you've been to these graduations,
right? We've got 2,000 kids here, people. We can't have crazy applause for every kid.
Yes, you nailed it. I'm gonna,
that's right, Dean Wormer.
Only
one person can be Dean Wormer and tell you how it is.
Right, where the dean goes, applaud appropriately, but realize we have X hundred students walking across, and they're like, hey, Steve Smith, and no one showed up.
Timothy Mark Jones. Timothy Michael Jones.
Oh, God.
And then they get to Marianne Johnson, and 35 people.
Whoa, Marianne, you made it.
Cowbells, light and lighters, and
vuvuzelas, like, air horns.
A didgeridoo. And I'm like, does she bring an orchestra with her? And we all were like, God damn, Mary traveled heavy.
Please do not bang your doodinkers or your clunkers. Please be respectful. So here would be my speech, okay? I'm just going to give you the brief, abbreviated version. I would come up to the microphone, and I would look, and I would let out a big old disgusted sigh at the crowd. And I'd be like, 52,456. That's how much it costs per year for most of you here.
Suckers.
What your parents have just done is the equivalent of driving a brand new, fully loaded Lexus IS 350 F Sport with the updated rims right off a cliff for 4 years in a row. That they would spend more money to attend this meeting here for you, who has done the bare minimum of what is expected, Congratulations. You went to class and passed. What, you want a cookie? I'm disgusted by this whole affair. Now go out, get a job, fall in love, get married, make babies, population's dropping. Let's go get drunk. Thanks for coming, everybody.
That's it. I'm out.
How's that? Now you know why I don't get invited to these things.
Right? Yeah, seriously. I think you just sealed your own, sealed your own fate as far as a speaker.
Okay, but is part of me not on the money here saying you've done the bare minimum? That graduating is not this huge hurdle. Like, if your parents are putting $52,000 on the table per year, and by the way, that's the highest price I could find online, I would imagine your mileage may vary, and you probably paid a little bit less, but out of state, total costs, housing and food, other expenses, tuition and fees, between $44,000 and $52,000 a year. Non-PA resident. Scholarships, discounts, they throw some of those in there. If your parents are putting that much on the table, I mean, to me, it's like only the biggest of a-holes would not at least graduate with C's. Like, come on.
He did well. We're proud of him.
What was his GPA?
He didn't get magna cum laude.
Dean's
cum
list?
Laude, but he got,
Dean's list?
No, yeah, he got some sort of honor roll thing. It was like all A's and B's. You know.
Good. Okay, good. Yeah. So not even a C student. But
no,
students still get to walk. And C students can still do well in life. And
absolutely.
Well, no one looks at your grades unless you're going to grad school or PhD or something like that. Right. If you're going to get a job, it doesn't matter what your grades are. They don't.
Well, if you're trying to apply to a job, you might not have even had to attend. They would have to check. And sometimes they don't even check. But my point is they want you in school. Like, they're not trying to flunk you out. Because then they got to go find somebody else to pay $52,464. And that's becoming harder and harder. Do you know, Scott, that colleges are experiencing a dramatic decline in enrollment across the board?
Oh, yeah.
In America? That a number of smaller colleges are this close to shutting their doors because they can't get students?
But I mean, I know it's expensive.
I know
it's
it is.
It's really expensive.
Yes. Let me look this up here. But this is like a trend which you wouldn't otherwise know. It hadn't gotten super bad. Obviously, the most prestigious schools, the highest profile schools, they're still turning people away. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the smaller middling schools are really experiencing declines and they're struggling.
Well, there's not many colleges starting up or closing, right? It's a pretty, most schools have been there hundreds of years or at least dozens of years. It's not like, oh, we're going to start a new college here, the Zaven School of Fine Art. You know, I don't think more schools are starting, even though we're linearly growing population-wise, we're not growing as many schools as many because they're too damn expensive and because there's other options and more, I don't know, you can go to this kind of school, go be a plumber, plumbing school or something like that to do that.
Since 2020, 64 small colleges have closed or announced closure affecting 46,000 students. Also, three major credit rating agencies issued unfavorable outlooks for higher education heading into 2026.
I hope Dion's school wasn't that. It was not my fault when that school closed, even though I profited greatly from that school's closure. I stole their money, basically.
All right, let's end on this. Broadcasting and media is uneven and unfair, and it is most certainly not a meritocracy. They don't hold tryouts for many broadcast jobs, if any. It's all who you know, who kind of likes you. They don't say, all right, we're going to line 20 guys up and have them do a demo show and see how it sounds, see who we think is the best, have it judged by people. We're not going to have broadcasters, play-by-play men. I mean, there are things like, you know, resume tapes you send in, and at a certain low level, that happens. But once you get up to a kind of a known level, your run on whatever platform at whatever outlet you're with is kind of dependent upon the whims of not just the business of that platform, but also who's in charge, who's the program director, who's the general manager, who's the president, whatever. Sometimes you get a bum deal and you get flushed out for kind of no reason. Some guy doesn't like you and they're like, nah, I'm getting somebody else. It is what it is. It's their stage, not yours.
Chris Berman is the opposite. Chris Berman has played his run at ESPN like a Stradivarius. He is beloved up there, and good for him. He seems like a nice enough guy. From everything I've heard in the business, I've never met him, that he is not, you know, a guy who is a big-timer. Although my one time actually intersecting with Chris Berman was at a Super Bowl party in Miami, poolside at some swank place down there on Ocean Boulevard. And there was a pretty hot-looking woman there who was wearing a leather skirt, was talking to somebody next to me. Berman rolls up. He starts talking to the one guy. It doesn't last for more than just a couple of minutes. And then he turns and says loudly in that boomer voice, "Okay, Leather, come with me." Oh, I think he said, "Okay, Leather, you're with me." Called her Leather. But Chris Berman just turned 71. Mazel, mazel, happy birthday. He is obviously the godfather of ESPN, and he is going to be there. He signed a contract extension that will not only have him employed for the upcoming Super Bowl that ESPN is going to have, but it goes for another 2 years after that, so it can take Berman with ESPN to their actual 50th anniversary, which is in 2029, because I believe they began in 1979. They love Berman. That is not just the company push. That is getting the company royal treatment to be the crown jewel. They are like, we cannot get to 50 and not still have Chris Berman doing his thing. And look, his thing is, you know, it had its moment. It had its day. Is anyone still clamoring for it? I don't think so, but still. Anyway, good for Berman. May all of us in the business aspire to someday become so treasured at some place. They keep paying you, even though they don't need you, even when they're laying off all kinds of other people, they keep you almost like a souvenir store trinket to put in the window to say, no, we still got him. There he is right there. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Scott and Solly for letting me use a chunk of their podcast. Support and subscribe to them, and always rate and review, because it helps the algorithmic overlords and lets the system know, hey, there's people listening to this podcast. There's people engaging with this podcast. People like this podcast. And yes, like I heard some other podcasters say, give it 5 stars. Don't give it 4 stars. Don't become like Johnny Hardo Grader saying, well, I would give it 5, but Andy Pollin really pisses me off. It's free. It's all a scam. It's just a game. Give me 5 if you don't mind. Helps us out in the content producing business. Have yourself a Cracker Jack Tuesday, everybody, and we will see you next time. The playoffs are here, people. NBA and NHL both going at the same time. That's the best 2 weeks in the sports calendar, right? And it goes fast. More games, more angles, more ways to be right, and more ways to win. That's the fun. MyBookie.ag has it all. And right now, for new players, use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. And if your first bet doesn't hit, they refund it up to $500 back as free play one-time rollover, plus $25 in casino credit automatically. That's called insurance, my friends. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.